Thank you. Originally, the title was like this, but magnetic shielding here was mainly intended for the proton EDM, and Peter Feilinger, he explained quite well yesterday on magnetic shielding that I will skip that part, and instead I changed the title a little. Excuse me for that. And I will, about half of the time on the, I will say, squid system engineering. Even though I am physicist, I like to be called a physical engineer. So I will mention about system engineering on the squid issue, and then talk about the squid for Ariadne proton EDM and action. This time, I'm not directly measuring the signal from one of these threes. I'm just developing squid for them, and they are doing the measurement that my talk is somehow limited to squid issue, not for the cosmology issue. You may already know that what is squid, and squid is a black box making voltage out of a flux signal. And the flux can be from one of these, like a magnetic field, or current, or RF power, or displacement. And the output voltage is quite large that we can handle with room temperature or conventional semiconductor electronics. And there are many applications of squid. These two parts are the main part I was involved and currently involved. And very recently, I came to be involved with these two blue parts. One is for squid for proton EDM, and the other one is for Ariadne and RF amplifier for action detection. When we say squid, what is the performance of a squid? Physically, we can say that a low noise squid is best, but in the engineering sense, there are several other issues. In physical performance, bandwidth is also quite important, especially when we measure brain signal. We have to measure signal up to 2 or 3 kilohertz. And the dynamic range and slew rate is also important in physical performance. In engineering wise, reliability of operation, of course, and the cost of fabrication or operation, and the compactness or space for the system is also important. As a physical engineer, I have to solve these two issues, and then let me explain what we did for the last 2 decades, approximately. When we say squid system, there are several components. First, we start from squid and the cooling DUA and electronics and other equation part. Because the squid is quite a low noise sensor, we have to shield it from external noise. So we need some shielding structure. But shielding structure itself also generates some kind of thermal noise. And DUA also generates thermal noise. And the sample, human body or some subject also generate some thermal noise or natural noise. So when we think of squid system noise, squid is not the only noise source. We have to think all these factors all together. And let's start with DC squid. Actually, I do not know where of DC squid, but let me briefly explain. DC squid is made of two transception junctions. It is centered by some resistor. And the critical current of these squid, these two transception junction squid, modulate as a function of a flux applied to the squid loop, approximately this way. And if we have some optimum, not optimum, but if we have some suitable bias current, then the output voltage of squid modulate something like a sine wave. When we operate Squid in real application, we operate it in a so-called flux-locked loop to linearize the output voltage of Squid. So what we measure from the electronics is the voltage or current or flux necessary to cancel the incoming flux from the input coil. This is the voltage we are measuring, actually, and this is called flux-locked loop. But in real measurement system using room temperature electronics, the squid system noise in a small world, meaning the squid system noise is made of intrinsic noise of the squid plus preamplifier, equivalent preamplifier noise contribution. And it is given by the voltage noise, total voltage noise of the amplifier divided by flux to voltage transfer of the squid. Sorry. Typically, this value is about 0.5 nanotesla, sorry, nanovolt per square root delta, but squid is much more quiet. I mean, the squid output voltage is some tens of picovolt or small 100 picovolt range. So usually, if we connect room temperature preamplifier directly to squid, then preamplifier dominates the system noise. So in that sense, it is important to have as a high value over this to decrease the contribution of preamplifier noise. So in standard DC circuit, this is quite typical flux to voltage curve of DC circuit. We have a somewhat limited gain from the squid. So if we, for example, connect 0.5 nanotesla room temperature electronics to the squid, then the equivalent flux noise is about 5 micropinel from the electronics. So this is much higher than intrinsic noise of the squid itself. So we need some, there are several approaches to minimize the effect of room temperature electronics noise. My approach is to use so-called DROS, double relaxation oscillation squid, having quite a steep flux voltage curve, and this modulation is also quite larger than DC squid, that we can use simple room temperature electronics to read out, and also this large signal modulation depth means it is quite stable against the thermal drift of the preamplifier offset voltage. So this is some circuit diagram of DROS, and typical flux voltage curve is looking like this, about 300 microvolt amplitude, and this slope is typically larger than 1 millivolt per panel. There is another novel idea to reduce the contribution of preamplifier noise is to use a two-stage squid. In this case, the second squid is a preamplifier of first stage squid or signal squid. In that way, we can reduce the contribution of this part. But it is a little more complex than single squid. So for few channel squid, few channel system is okay, but for multi-channel like 50 or 100 channel system, we need more study for more reliable operation. Another one important thing is control electronics. These are some of the standard brain measuring multi-channel system. You see quite complex, but in our case, the control electronics are as small as ordinary desktop size. So compact electronics is quite important. not only to save the money, but to save space in the hospital, for example. When we measure magnetic field, principally, we can use some big size antenna called the pickup coil, and this multi-turn input coil couples flux to the squid. The output voltage is measured by this way, and this FLL or linearization squid make some linear voltage output in proportional to the incoming flux. If we apply 1 femtotesla here, typically it's about 1 nanovolt, and final voltage is somewhere about 1 microvolt, something like that. And we can think of different types of pickup coil called the magnetometer or planar gradiometer or axial Y-onda gradiometer. So planar gradiometer looks like this. So it has some advantage and disadvantage. And in reliability sense, I prefer to have this kind of axial gradiometer having two oppositely wound pickup coil made of niobium titanium wire and coupled to the squid this way. Conventionally, people are using this way. This is a niobium titanium wire. This is a squid. So we need some niobium screw terminal or pad to superconductively couple the signal from pickup coil to input coil. As you see, this occupies some volume that we need some superconductive shield so that this part does not pick up external noise. But as you see, this is a superconductor that it deforms the uniform external field, that the distance from here to here should be about 10 centimeters or more, so that it does not affect the uniformity of the external strong noise. It means that to keep both in superconducting state, liquid helium should be at least somewhere here. It means that the refill interval can be shorter, and also it is more complex to fabricate. And recently, people used to use this kind of a little more simple structure. But still, this area called the stray pickup area is quite large, that this is not good for high balancing gradiometer. So in our case, I developed a special but very easy technique that to bond niobium wire directly between pickup coil to input coil. So in that case, the stray pickup area made by this is as small as intrinsic balancing, which is the area difference between this and this made by the manual winding. So the pickup coil or this gradiometer is something like a transistor or op-amp chip that we can plug in easily in a multi-channel insert configuration. This is a standard type of insert and dual. You have a gradiometer and helmet type sensor array in the insert, and we put this in the liquid helium dual. And when we make a dual, there are several important technical issues. The material is typically made of fiberglass reinforced plastic, that it should be very mechanically high density material. Otherwise, very small size helium gas can penetrate easily, that vacuum can be worsened, can be degraded easily. So we developed a special technique to make it transparent. So you can read newspaper through this tube. It means that the material is very high density. And also, other important issue is small noise from super insulation or small shield material inside the vacuum space. We should use about 70 layers of thin aluminized mylar, and also at least 3 layers of metal small shield. These are small noise sources. So if we make a dual without careful, this was made about 15 years ago, and you see that the outer part of the sensors are more noisy than inside. So after we changing the small shield over some part here or here, we can see that the overall noise becomes improved. To have less small noise from the shield material, from this material, we can use another type of small shield. For example, we can use a sapphire, thin sapphire rod, or if you think it's expensive, you can use alumina rod, thin alumina rod, or some sapphire plate for the small shield material. And typically, we are using aluminized mylar with some matrix structure or island structure. If it is generating noise, we can deposit aluminum on a fabric. Then each side of the metal island is very small, that we can neglect the small noise contribution. Okay, when we cool down squid array or insert, typically this is a standard type of insert, something like this. It means that the dual neck should be as large as the sensor array. And also, this is mechanically suspending on the top. So if the helium is a voice, mechanically it is vibrating. So it is less suitable in real low noise measurement. So insert struct, vibration, and if we need a larger sensor array diameter, the neck diameter also should be larger. It means more heat input from the neck. And then we can think of a smaller neck diameter, but a larger sensor array, something like some toy work, a ship in a bottle case, that we can install larger sensor array through small neck diameter. This is also possible. Another one is you make this neck much smaller and install the sensor arrays in the vacuum space. So inside the liquid helium, there is nothing except liquid helium level sensor. So in this way, thermal input from the neck can be reduced much, and no insert vibration, and chemically more stable. In some case, if you transfer helium from the helium supplier company, then in some cases there are some metallic contamination that it is difficult to remove in this case. But in this case, it is rather easy. You can put some magnet at the top of some plastic tube so you can stick the particles and take out. And it's also close to the sample or external world. We made, for example, this is quite larger than the neck, and we cut the sensor array into four pieces, for example. This is the back side of the sensor module that we can just plug in the squid gradometer, and on the other side, we screw. The assembly is quite simple, and we put we install one by one inside the dual using some simple stick structure. This was used for measuring magnetocardiography signal. And in another case, this is another type of squid gradometer, and this is vacuum space. So here, inside the liquid helium, there is nothing on the vacuum space. We plug each gradiometer one by one, and then we put a small shield and the super insulation and cover the lower vacuum, vacuum counterpart, and then we can use this. So in this way, the vibration can be reduced, and also chemically, physically more stable. If you transfer liquid helium weekly, some part of air or nitrogen is coming into the dua, and those air or nitrogen becomes solid, or it reacts with the squid. So in some cases, it breaks the squid sensors. But in this case, it is perfectly chemically stable because all the sensors are inside the vacuum space. So you see that there is no vibration in this region. The white noise is about 2 femtotesla. You see that it is quite saturating. So there is one smaller, but typically 2 femtotesla is nearly the saturating value that the system noise, squid noise, electronics noise, and also dual small noise, blah, blah, are all together saturating to this value. Another one I tried is that, as you see, if there is a superconductor, then magnetic field cannot enter inside that. And if we have two brims, outward and inward, and put squeeze in this surface, you can operate it even without magnetically shielded room. And even though there are some noise peak here, so in general, it is quite stable. And we have been developing squid for some applications, but the main applications were for medical application. For example, for measuring heart electric activity or brain electric activity, and MRI at low field. For example, we can apply this technique for measuring the electric current in the myocardium of the heart, generate magnetic field, and this can be measured with a clothes on, without removing all the clothes, non-invasively, without contact, and it provides information for the ischemic heart disease of the patient or arrhythmia, something like that. This technology was already transferred to a German company in Hamburg several years ago. Yeah. So it's difficult to say resolution. If the activity is well localized, then we can say resolution. So if you take a photo in this screen, you can see what is the resolution. But this is measuring the activity of myself. How do you define the resolution? Yeah. I'm moving all the way. So it's difficult to say resolution. If it is well localized, then you can say resolution. But anyway, it is a perfectly non-invasive, non-contact, and accurate method for diagnosing heart. Anyway, doctors in Germany, they started to use this. And another one is measuring brain magnetic signal called magnetoencephalography. So we have a helmet structure, sensor array, and this can, in this case, we can say localization.
Yes, exactly.
Because if I move my finger, then some part in the brain is localized according to this activity. Even though it is not a point-like activity, but you can localize. So the localization accuracy is approximately 2 or 3 millimeters. Okay? And because it is a purely non-invasive and non-contact method, we can study brain function or before you make a surgery of some tumor in the brain, you have to know what is the distribution of the function around that surgical part. Or you have to know the source of epileptic source localization. For the young baby or children, we need to study autism or Alzheimer, something like that. So this is also important. This technology is now transferred to an Australian American company. And okay, now we are fabricating new kind of device that has two helmets in one dual. So in this small helmet size, we can measure from the brain from the baby to say about 10 years old, this side for the adult side that we can study from the brain to the elderly. This is a quite innovative system.
How close to the sensor have to be?
About 15 millimeter to 20 millimeter. Hmm. Yeah. For cooling squid, we need liquid helium. So possible disadvantage of squid is using liquid helium. Many people in the past argued that squid is using liquid helium, so this is one disadvantage. Anyway, we have to use liquid helium, or we have to use a cryocooler. And now, recently, I developed successfully the reliquifier for continuously operating the squid arrays. So this is a typical insert type, direct liquid helium cooled squid system. For example, for brain study, the volume is about 90 liters and it evaporates about 12 liters per day. So every Friday evening, you have to refill. It means that about $1,500 in Korean helium cost is evaporated. This is a quite big source of expenditure. So I tried some years is there any method not to use liquid helium? That we tried to use a pulse tube. Many people think that say that conventional GM type cryocooler is quite noisy, but pulse tube is a very low noise that squid can be attached to pulse type. But from the viewpoint of a squid, pulse tube cryocooler is still quite a noisy source. And we tried to minimize the vibration or mounting noise from the pulse tube.
Can you explain how it works? Because for liquid helium, we can understand. Cool liquid helium, everything.
Okay.
How does the pulse tube work?
Okay. For the details, it's not. Anyway, to explain something like that. Anyway, this is a 40 Kelvin. This is 40 Kelvin. This is a 4 Kelvin. So this is squid. So you need some high thermal conductivity materials to cool this. To sink the heat to this cold part. So to have a better cooling, it should be shorter, or you should use a more solid thermal conduct. Mm-hmm. If it is shorter or better thermal conduction, it is more noisy. So we need a trade-off. So eventually, we spent about 2 years, but it's not successful. You see that there are many vibration peaks from here, there. So I was very much frustrated. So what is the solution? But the other people in quantum design in San Diego area, they are collecting helium gas like the conventional method. They're collecting helium gas at the end of the room and liquefies and move this container to the dewar and transfer, and then put this at the corner of the room and collect helium gas and liquefying this way, and they have to transfer and back, and during transfer or during this cycling, there is some loss. So maybe one time or two times a week, they have to refill the helium gas. And the cost is quite expensive. Another approach done by Finnish people is that they put this cryocooler directly on top of the. They tried about 7 years to solve this problem, but finally they installed this on top of this dewar MEG brain measuring dewar, and because this is so much noisy, they have to turn off during brain measurement. And then during the night or during the off time, not measuring time, they refill or transmit helium to the tua. So you see that there are some container, some pressurized purifier, blah, blah. So this is quite complex. Because of some contamination, they have to warm up the whole system in every 6 or 8 months. And also, this is magnetic noisy part is just above the squid that it is not much in, quiet. And then I came to know that this continuous reliquifier is used for MPMS or PPMS used in solid state PX laboratory. And then I visited the company in Syracuse, New York called Cryomec. And they already have this idea. And I asked them to make this merely horizontal type transport tube and bolt one. And then installed in my lab, there were some technical details, but I'm not going to explain all. But anyway, compress in the corner of the room, maybe somewhere on the corner from the MEG tua. And there is a thin, about 10 centimeter thick, much thinner than the conventional brain measuring shielded room. But anyway, we put this motor and the reliquifier. This is a magnetically shielded room. This is inside. And important thing is, as I explained, our tua is squid in vacuum type that the squid are fixed on the inside of the vacuum space. So there is no vibration source in the helium. And we operated it. Last year, about July, we started to operate after 3 times of failure. And then for about 6 months, meaning until this February, the loss was zero. And I changed some part in the tua in February, and then restarted again. So until today, the loss is zero. So I can say that the loss is nearly zero for several years. And in terms of noise, I compared this whole head 160 channel average noise between the system turned off and turned on. So if you turn on the cryocooler system, you see that about 1.4 Hz vibration peak is appearing. In some channels, there is no peak, but in some other channels, there is a peak, depending on the distance or balancing or whatever. And you see that the system noise is looking like this. It seems that this is quite noticeable, but comparing with the brain spontaneous noise, which is much smaller. And I measured my brain signal with the system turned off and turned on. In the background noise, a little noise, but neurologists say that the signal is quite good. So it is quite successful.
What? Brain works harder if your eyes are closed.
Pardon me?
Because maybe, I don't know.
Why is the noise higher when your eyes are closed?
If brain is, network is over electric current distribution, and our brain has about 10 to the 10, less than the galaxy size, but 10 to the 10 or 10 to the 11. Neurons, there is a complex electrical network. And if I close my eyes, especially the back side of the brain, because our eyes are the most the biggest signal capturing, or the brain in the visual part on the back side is the most actively working network. And if I close my eyes, the brains are resting,
and the synchronizing activity, just like idling. So this is called alpha rhythm. Maybe you heard about alpha rhythm. So this is a...
How do you say that again?
Alpha rhythm.
Alpha rhythm.
Alpha, beta, gamma, alpha rhythm. Yeah. So you see that this is about, this is about 10 hertz alpha rhythm from my back. Yeah. So if I compare the signal, the reliquify system noise with the other direct liquid helium cooled system noise, this is the MEG magnetoencephalography we installed in Taipei, Taiwan, about 7-8 years ago. Unfortunately, this was installed in the third floor of the building that you see some vibration noise here. But anyway, if we compare directly liquid helium cooled system with the reliquify system, you see that reliquify is more noisy. And this is a Canadian system in Vancouver area. So if we compare the same type of pickup coil, they use the same type of pickup coil with our system. So you see that about 20 femtotesla noise at about this frequency. And comparing with our system, it's nearly the same. And this is a system for the baby installed in Philadelphia, made by Tristan Technology in San Diego. And comparing with that system cooled by liquid helium directly, our reliquify system is much more noisy. My approach is not the only one. And there is already one system installed about 1 year before in Boston Children's Hospital, made by American company. And the vibration peak is the same, but our system is much more quiet. So I'm quite happy with this system. And turning to the main topic of this workshop now. Okay, so as I said, I'm not doing directly the experiment for cosmology or something like that. And I'm just developing squid for the Yannis group, IBS, Institute for Basic Science, and his center name is the Center for Action and Precision Physics Lab, called the CAPP. As I said in the beginning, I was going to tell something about magnetic shielding, but Peter already explained well, so I will not tell about that. Anyway, but in Ariadne, we have some external permalloy shielding, and inside we have a superconductive shielding. And in proton EDM, we need both. Also action, we need both, but details are a little different. But anyway, in case of Ariadne, I do not know details of the physics, but the tungsten mass is rotating at a speed of about 9 hertz with 11 segments. And whenever the tungsten frustrated part is passing by the helium-3 polarized sample, we say monopole dipole interaction is occurring, that we have some NMR signal at the frequency of about 100 hertz. That is a multiple of segment and rotation speed. So we need some, and we have three sets of this, some here, and here, and here, for reducing some common mode noise, like vibration noise. And this is one part of the sample block. Here we have some spheroid space to keep helium-3, polarized helium-3. Next to it, here we have a squid pickup coil, and we have a Helmholtz coil-like field set to make some uniform field. This is some adjustment coil to make compensation for the uniformity. If you see here, there is a circular pickup coil, and the return lines are coming out. Details are like this. So this is a quartz block, and we have a quartz tube. and altogether spotted with a niobium film to have a superconductive shielding. And next to the helium-3 sample, we have a pig coil, and this is squid. And outputs are going out this way, and we have some wire bonding or soldering and connected to room temperature electronics. Okay. Actual sensor type is looking like this. This is pig coil. External dimension is about 9 millimeter. And some requirement is that this part can be superconducting line like a niobium, but at the out part, it should be normal metal. Otherwise, field trap can be happened or, and shielding is not perfect. So you need some normal metal region. And okay, finally, the fabricated device is looking like this. It's on silicon wave, on the quartz wave. It's quite easy, but cutting this right angle is not so trivial. Cutting this way is quite easy with a diamond saw, but this way you cannot exactly cut this way because the diamond fill size is like this compared with the width of this. So anyway, we did some manual, semi-manual manipulation and cut. The squid noise measured in a thin or 8 centimeter thick MSR, and the squid are near the bottom of the MSR, so that the noise is not very good. But anyway, it is working with a white noise of about 5 femtotesla. We need improvement for this. For the proton EDM, I just know that proton may have an electric dipole moment of 10 to the minus 29 E times centimeter. If it is in electric field over this value, then the spin processes very little, maybe few nanoradian per second. But proton also have a magnetic moment that in a field over B, for example, if the field is about 6 auto tesla, then nearly the same precession can happen. So how we can reduce the field environment inside the trajectory, trajectory, and then how we can monitor the field. So we need some sensitive squid system called the beam position monitoring. Actually, this is Yanis' idea that two opposite traveling proton beams are modulating with a maximum separation of about 4 or 5 picometer, and the modulation amplitude is, modulation frequency is about 1 kilohertz. And if the two currents are in the opposite direction, and the magnetic pig coil is somewhere here in the center of the vertical height, then only radial component, or in this coordinate, only X component is measured. And the signal would be around a few auto tesla. And how we can measure such a low noise signal using about 100 or 1,000 times noisy squid sensor. The configuration is like this. This is a dual structure. Beam may pass by this way. This is a little exaggerated drawing, and the squid one is here, the other one is here. And the real dual and squid array is like this. The squid are here in the vacuum space. This is liquid helium, and there is a hole that this is one part of the proton beam ring. And the beam may pass by this way, and the signal is measured by two rows of squid. And we need, of course, a magnetic shielding. And also, this part is superconductively shielded. The function of this is not only to shield external noise, but to shield small noise from the dual material. So as I said, it is in the vacuum space, so it is less sensitive to the vibration. As I understand, in the accelerator ring, there are many pumpers and vibration sources that vibration may be the main noise source, not the white noise. Vibration may be the main noise source. So we have to be very careful about the vibration reduction. And this is a three-dimensional layout. Okay, this is a dual and some small shield. And at the lower part, we have a copper with a superconducting material inside, and inside this superconducting material, we have a squid in each row facing each other. And this is some idea to reduce the intrinsic noise of the squid mount meter. I'll skip. And okay. And this is a 16-channel electronics. We are going to modulate the proton beam at around 1 kHz signal, at 1 kHz. And this is a flux-locked loop. As I said, it's a linearization circuit. And at the end part, we have a analog to digital convert. For the brain study, we are using 24-bit. 2 kHz sampling, but there is no high sampling rate devices, so that we have to use lower resolution and higher sampling devices for this. And then this AD card may generate some noise contribution that we need amplification at the output of its circuit electronics. And this is a control and acquisition software. Important thing is we need some trigger input from somewhere from the accelerator ring that by using this trigger input and continuously measured speed output, we can make some kind of averaging. For example, this is a trigger source. And if the signal, true signal may be like this, if we assume that true signal is like this, but actually signal is like this. This is just noise. So this is noise. So we have to measure about 100 or more than 100 times smaller signal than this noise. So anyway, in this way, we can make averaging. And this is a ring. We assume that there are several duas or several sections, and each part is controlled by optical signal that, because this is some 100 meters distance, that if we use electrical acquisition or electrical control, then time delay between a channel or radio frequency or some noise acquisition from the electrical line could be serious. That we have to use optical transmission. The control is quite similar to our brain measuring system. Our brain measuring device has 16 channels in each module, so this is quite similar. So we will use the same approach. And then how we can improve the signal-to-noise ratio. Intrinsically, in principle, the system sensitivity multiplied by number of sensors, square root, and also number of averaging, square root, is the signal-to-noise ratio. So if we have, for example, the system sensitivity, squid sensitivity maybe 0.2 femtotesla, something like that, but I'm telling about the system sensitivity is about 0.5 femtotesla, because it is a very noisy environment in the accelerator ring. So ground could be one source of noise. So this is not an easy issue. But anyway, if we assume 0.5 femtotesla, and repetition rate is 1 kHz. Repetition means averaging interval 1 kHz, and bandwidth. Then noise amplitude in frequency domain multiplied by bandwidth is time domain noise amplitude. And then if we have, for example, this number of squid, and the number of averaging per second, if it's 1 kilohertz sampling, then 1,000 times averaging per second. Then if we have 1,000 second occasion and shape, it's about 16 minutes? 16? Okay, anyway, then the noise is about 8 minutes? Okay, anyway. So its noise is about 0.8 auto Tesla. So if we have 1,000 fields, then noise amplitude in time domain is as small as 28 zeta Tesla in principle. So if the target amplitude is about this, then signal to noise ratio is quite large. So in about 11 days, we can get quite acceptable signal. If we use a present system, for example, 3 femtotesla, then square of noise ratio, then 36 times longer, meaning for one time successful measurement, it takes about 1 year. So speed or short measurement is quite important. So before this, I made an 8-channel system just for pretest or some averaging experiment, something like that. So this is now given to Yannis group, and they are testing some experiment, something like this. So this is the last one, so maybe. Action. Okay, I do not have many pages, so. So action is generated by some interaction with the high magnetic field in low temperature, but the amplitude is quite small, about 10 to the minus 24 watt, in the range of 10 to the 24 watt. So we need a quite a sensitive preamplifier, like a squid or a JPA or something like that. And then another low noise cryogenic semiconductor amplifier is used. And as Dr. Leonard, Conrad Leonard explained yesterday, so we need a low noise amplifier to reduce the scan time. So scan time is given by square of noise temperature. And here the system noise is given by physical temperature plus effective amplifier noise temperature. And because I was doing with squid, so I was asked to develop squid-based amplifier. So in somewhat different from conventional low-frequency squid is that here the signal is applied to the plus part of the input coil, and the negative part is left open, not connected to the ground. So this is called a microstrip type amplifier. In reality, there is a inductance and a capacitance, so there is some resonance. So for low frequency operation, this streamline inductance or stray inductance is not useful. But in the microstrip amplifier, we are using that resonance on purpose. And we are not using in a closed loop or in flux locked loop. We are using in open type. So suppose that in the flux voltage curve, we are here. And if there is a small RF signal or magnetic signal, depending on the slope of the flux voltage curve, we can get some gain. So the gain is decided by mainly by this slope and also some other factors. This is a real device structure. This is about 2 by 2 millimeter mounted on a PCB, and RF in and RF out, there is a DC line to apply some DC bias current or DC flux bias, or in some cases we measure DC voltage to measure current voltage or flux voltage curve. There is a coupling capacitor and input coil and Josephson junction, and this is for cooling hot electron in the Josephson junction area to lower the noise temperature of the squid. So there are several factors, and this year I'm not doing this work, but I spent about 2 years to optimize the parameters, and then the measurement is done this way. We measure the S21, or transmission signal, with this part and this part shorted, and then apply squid and compare the two signals. This is a shorted case. This is a squid with some bias current and some flux bias. That the gain is about 18 or 20 dB at around 2.5 gigahertz. This frequency is the starting frequency of Yannis group to scan the signal. So from 2.5 gigahertz, they are moving upward. And bandwidth about 200 or 300 megahertz. And they are now doing the test experiment in a dilution refrigerator, and then they will start action measurement experiment. Okay, this is my talk.
In view of the previous talk, I'm curious, the squids that you talked about in the first part, what is their energy resolution?
Energy resolution? I'm sorry, I have been playing with the squid for about 25 years. I have never measured energy resolution. I'm more interested in the real noise situation, so maybe next time I can measure with superconductively shielded to measure the intrinsic noise, but in my application, it has no meaning to know the intrinsic noise, because the dual noise or environmental noise should be also included as a system noise. So I do not know, maybe some 100 H bar. I do not know exactly. I do not know exactly. Sorry. Yuan Beren from German Meteorology Institute, PTV, he will mention about their energy resolution tomorrow.
So what is the noise of this RF amplifier? Can you tell how close is the quantum limit?
We expect near quantum limited noise, but we didn't yet measure. In my lab, I have only liquid helium dual. I do not have any facility to measure noise except network, one network analyzer. In their group, in Yannis group, they have a dilution refrigerator, and they will measure soon, yeah.
Possibly a very stupid question, but so when we were thinking of doing an axion search, we're basically looking for a big static, very small B field, which is largely homogeneous over a large region. We are considering, okay, maybe it'd be better to take like a big pickup loop of wire to like multiple squids as opposed to just one squid. But I think we figured out that it doesn't actually help you that much with the noise, but yet, I think somewhere in your talk you were saying that it actually, like, it's beneficial just to have a whole bunch of squids because then you basically just reduce the noise by root n. Is there a situation where it's, like, if you're measuring just one flux, it's better to measure with many squids rather than just one squid?
So it depends on the inductance or frequency. So if the size is big, then we cannot measure high frequency with a large peak coil. So if the frequency is low frequency, then using one big sensitive peak coil or many small size peak coil, which one is better? So in principle, if you have many peak coils, it is not simply one over n,
Right.
Maybe one over root n, something like that. Right. So we have to consider that.
That was for the proton EDM search, right? That you suggested meant a large n.
The pure quad size is limited.
Right.
Because the beam is linear, quite a linear straight. The pure quad size is limited. Well, we can make a little longer, narrow and longer pure quad along the beam line instead of this vertically large one.
Right.
Yeah, this would be possible.
Let's think.
Okay, thank you.